From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Continuing these studies on prayer, Dr. Alan Cairns is drawing lessons from the Lord's Prayer. In a few simple statements, the Lord Jesus Christ explained to His disciples the proper way to approach God in prayer. The very opening words, "Our Father," teach us many lessons that we must keep in mind as we pray. We are coming to the Almighty God with whom nothing is impossible. We must pray from our hearts with great fervency and passion. Then, as we pray, we are to set our affections on things above and not be consumed with things of time and sense. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns briefly considers the profound truth that Christ once appeared on earth to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself.
You know the saying, familiarity breeds contempt. Unfortunately, that's rather true, and we treat contemptibly some of the most precious things just because we have become over familiar with them. Certainly, I find that familiarity with some of the great statements of Scripture often blinds people to their stupendous meaning. For example, think of this. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, Christ hath once appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Now let that sink in. That is a stupendous statement. Christ hath once appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. There are people who say, "Oh, I know that. You're not telling me anything new. I know that Christ came. I know that He sacrificed Himself. I know that He died and that He rose again. I know that He did all this out of love for sinners." People will say that and yet then dismiss it as if they had just said, "I know that the mall opens at 10 o'clock and closes at 9 o'clock. No big deal." They can say, "I know this about Christ," and then dismiss it. What's happening? Familiarity is breeding contempt. Now, here's an amazing and yet a glorious thing. There are parts of the world today where people are giving anything, sometimes risking their lives, just to get their hands on a Bible, just to be able to read a statement like this for themselves. There are people who are hearing this for the very first time, and it's opening their eyes and their hearts and their minds, and they are rejoicing to hear of such love in God for sinners such as they are. And they open their hearts to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm delighted to know that. I have a friend who is doing a work with our denomination in Nepal, in a country that until recently was shut to the gospel of Jesus Christ. A young man there just a few years ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago, was saved by the grace of God, had a burden to take the gospel that had liberated him up into the villages of his country, villages that are largely neglected. And in he went in the last 18 months, 2 years. He has seen some 2,000 people gladly embrace Christ. They hear this for the first time, and it is stupendous news. And yet here in the West, there are people whose familiarity has made them treat this truth with utter contempt. My friend, let me tell you, if you contemn the truth of the gospel, there will come a day when the God who sent that gospel will contemn you. If you dismiss His Christ, He will dismiss you. Oh, I trust that wherever you are today, You will not allow familiarity with the gospel message to lead you to treat it with contempt. Never lose the newness and the wonder and the awe of these great gospel truths, recognizing that Christ once appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Make sure you bow the knee, thank him for ever coming to save a sinner like you, and ask him to enter into your heart and your life as your Savior and your Lord.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If this series on prayer is helpful to you, you may be interested in obtaining Dr. Cairns's book, The Lord's Prayer, which contains the text of the entire series. You may purchase a copy in a number of ways. You may find the book on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Simply go to the website and click on Web Store. If you prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. However you choose to obtain a copy, you're sure to receive a great blessing as you apply these truths about prayer in your own life.
Particular virtue in the loudness or lack thereof. It's not the voice that storms the battlements of heaven and takes its way to the throne to get the answer. It is a heart. A heart humbled, broken, touched of God. What did David say in the 51st Psalm? Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Thou desirest truth in the heart. Thou dost not pay attention except to judge it, to the religion of the lips, to the mere profession of the mouth. God detests a religion that is all words and no heart. I can prove from Scripture that God will bless when the words are lacking, but the heart is right. You have examples in Scripture where God will, while not condoning lack of knowledge or anything of that nature, nonetheless will kindly look upon a heart that is so on fire with love for Him, but does not have sufficient knowledge and will say the wrong thing. You'd rather have someone whose heart was right than who got the words wrong, and someone who knew all the words but didn't have any heart. Of course, it shouldn't be either or. We must make prayer a matter of the heart, not merely of the lips. And then there's another lesson, and that is that we must set our affections on things which are above. Our Father, which art where? In heaven. The ancient Greek preacher
who went by the name of John Chrysostom, John the Golden Mouthed. As a fascinating series of homilies, you don't believe all that anybody said, but there are certainly many, many great insights in the homilies of John Chrysostom. And he said of Christ's words, "Our Father which art in heaven," when he saith in heaven, he speaks not this as shutting up God there, but listen, but as withdrawing him who is praying from earth and fixing him in the high places and in the dwellings above. There's a wonderful truth there. We come to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven." And yet so often, well, you've only got to go to most church prayer meetings. You've only got to listen in to yourself when you pray. So often we're coming in words to say, "Our Father which art in heaven," but every thought we have and every desire we express and every feeling we entertain seems to be so grounded in earth. It's a contradiction in terms. Now, we may and should pray about things that are upon the earth. The Scripture teaches that very clearly. But undergirding all our praying, there must be this coming to the Father who is in heaven. There must be first and foremost this engagement of heart with heaven. There must be this withdrawing of the soul away from the things of earth and fixing our desires, as Chrysostom put it, in high places and in the dwellings which are above. And of course, we have a much greater authority than John Chrysostom for saying that. For the Apostle Paul wrote by inspiration in Colossians 3 and verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." If you are risen with Christ, is that a description of a Christian? Sure it is. That's the description of a child of God. He's been born of the Spirit. He has died in Christ. He is risen in Christ. He has ascended in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. He is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's God's definition and description of a Christian. And so Paul says, if that is so in your life, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections in heaven. If you're praying to your Father in heaven, then heavenly things must be your greatest desire. In other words, prayer is so much more than a mere wish list. I've often said that so many times Christians are like spoiled little fellas. Maybe I should say little girls. Maybe one's as bad as the other. You've seen them in the grocery store or some other store, and they have an attack of the gimmies. Gimme this, gimme that, gimme that, gimme that, gimme, and they just rant and rave and throw tantrums until the gimmies have been satisfied. And there are so many grown-up kids among God's people, and that's as far as they ever go in prayer. Gimme this and give me the other thing. But there is a whole realm of experience, real experience, open to the people of God. Paul talks of it when he's writing to the Ephesians. I've often referred to Paul's great prayers for the Ephesians, and I would certainly recommend that you study them very, very carefully. In chapter 1, he prays for them. I would recommend you to take the time to memorize this prayer. And then when you've memorized it, time and time and time again, get on your knees before God and pray through it for yourself. It's a wonderful prayer. And Paul is praying basically for three things for the people of God. That God may give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, the eyes of your understanding or the eyes of your heart being enlightened. So he's praying that God will give them the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and revelation and understanding so that they may grasp three things. Here they are. Number one, what is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us? Now those are three simple sounding headings for prayer. Can I say to you, they, far from being simple headings, they are the studies of a lifetime. And far, far longer than a lifetime. But this is coming to set your affections on things above. Turn over to chapter 3. And Paul is praying again. Verse 14 says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Now what is he praying? That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge. Listen, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What a prayer. This is setting your affections in heavenly things. This is lifting prayer beyond the list of give-me's. This is coming to the ultimate purpose of a Christian's life on earth. What is that purpose? That I might be filled with all the fullness of God. The word fullness means the communicated fullness. All that God has to give to me in Christ. All that God has covenanted in the covenant of grace. All that Christ has purchased with his precious blood. All that the Holy Spirit has brought by his coming on the day of Pentecost. This is all included in the fullness of God. Yet we as God's people, we come and we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, and we're so busy thinking of something else, we haven't even stopped to consider the import of the words which art in heaven. He is in heaven, and it's heaven that our heart must be set upon. It's the heavenly things that we must be panting after, as the heart pants after the water brooks. So our souls must pant after him. And I tell you, there is no excuse for you and me living out little, shallow, almost meaningless lives. There is no excuse for it. Whatever our sphere, you may be called of God to spend most of your life in a home in the kitchen or doing the things around the home. There you may have, should have, the fullness of God. You may be called to deal with the public, doing manual work, teaching, selling, whatever the case may be. The old Puritan doctrine should never be lost of the sanctity of every legitimate calling to which God puts a Christian's hand. And in that calling, you should know and may know the fullness of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.